the individual to contribute. But in doing so, without sharing the story, we partner with this element of shame. That's kind of what we're talking about this morning. More than backstory, or Bethany can tell it better because this is her oldest sister. Growing up in a pastor's home, she was a very gifted individual.
Just start over.
You're really quiet. I'll try this one.
We tried to get away from it, but is that better? Okay. A very gifted individual, raised up in the church, a great Christian home, talented, gifted worship leader, musician, songwriter, very much the reason that we're here today. Of course, that was Bethany's older sister, so very much her inspiration in growing up and into worship and music, just a very gifted individual. She's actually the one that introduced us together. She's actually the one that got me into worship leading, brought me into the ministry, just a very gifted individual. And sometimes we don't think the suffering that goes on, especially inside our congregations, within the Christians, this because of the shame piece, we don't talk about these. So this is not to glorify the shame or the sin, this is to glorify the grace of God. And we have to start breaking down those walls of shame, because I'm convinced, of course, we see in the Garden of Eden very early on in, as soon as sin came, it was coupled with shame and fear, right? Because they were unashamed until after they sinned, and shame just rushed in, and they find themselves hiding and isolating, trying to isolate from God. But we find the same thing happens with us as individuals. And so as Katrina's life went on, she was introduced to alcohol at an early age, and she fell in love with it. Of course, no one would know, because on the appearance, everything seemed great, right? She was proper Christian life. She had a beautiful family and children, a great worship leader, really high esteem in the church. No one would know anything that's going on. Sometimes we don't know. There's stuff in the undercurrent that's going on underneath individuals. But shame keeps us in this place where we can't speak about these things. As her life went on, alcohol became more problematic. It became to take more of a hold onto her life, and started to have some negative impacts. The loss of her marriage, the loss of her children, but just continued to increase. And maybe some even others around her knew what was kind of going on to a degree, but we wouldn't want to speak about those things. And we want to say, and this is not to take away from the healing power of Jesus by any means, but she's got Jesus. She's going to be okay, right? Jesus is going to fix it. So we just step back and we don't intervene or help. So it continues to progress. Unfortunately, till the last of her life at 47 years old, which is super young, to die of cirrhosis of the liver. So this was something that was going on for a long time and covered. So for those that don't know, during my weekly job, I work in the addiction field, mental health counseling. I've never seen any substance use disorder or mental health disorder that is not coupled with shame. In fact, because it's all rooted in sin. So I know with the individuals I serve, if we don't find a remedy for shame, it'll eventually destroy you. And I'm convinced that the enemy knows us. Shame keeps you hidden, and it keeps you isolated. Guilt says I did something wrong. Shame says there's something wrong with me. Shame says, if I reveal to you who I am today, you will reject me. You will cut me off and you will reject me. Just what Adam and Eve did in the garden, right? The shame that took them into hiding and said, if I reveal who I am, you're going to reject me. So for a lot of individuals, rather than being vulnerable and let you know who I am, I stay hidden. And I stay hidden in my shame, which will eventually destroy me. You could be a Christian and an alcoholic. You could be a Christian and be a drug addict. You could be a Christian and struggle with depression. You could be a Christian and struggle with fill in the blank. You could be a Christian and have had an abortion. This is another hot topic on the radar for us as individuals. They say one out of every four females in the church have had abortion. You don't think they're saturated in shame. Sin is always coupled with shame. The importance of remembering who we are, because oftentimes in the church we want to put merit and worth. Right? Because I've been a Christian for so long that somehow I'm more deserving than this individual. At least I'm not an alcoholic. At least I'm not as bad as your sin. Right. So-and-so is not a Christian. Look at him. He's not a real Christian. Look at this individual. Look what they're doing. We have to stay in that place of wonderment, that perspective of where we are, who we are. I'm known more deserving than anybody in this room. This is all by the grace of God, right? God's grace to us. And that's the amazing thing of this whole book. From cover to cover, this is about God's grace. Our sin, but God's grace that abounds. Sin increase, but the grace abounded all the more. Sin increase. Katrina's story, sin increase, but grace abounded all the more and more. We have to remember who we are, where we've come from, not to rise to this haughtiness, but what do we do with the shame? And shame's a weird thing, because the more you don't talk about it, the more you have it. It multiplies. In the counseling world, and first of all, if there's anybody in here that is struggling today, reach out for help. By God, and even if it's I'm in a secular field, I'm here to tell you that in the secular world, there's Christian therapists and there's Christian counselors and there's God's truth in it all. Sometimes the secular field likes to rebrand God's truth as something else, but it's still God's truth. You can't take it away. But there's this wonderful thing that happens in counseling in the secular world. And actually, Carl Rogers is the one that brought this to the field, is the non-judgmental stance. That means I can sit with an individual and look at the individual. And then no matter what you tell me today, I'm going to still see your value and worth. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to listen to you. And the beauty of what happens in those sessions, when somebody can come in, not be judged, to be able to unload this stuff that rids them of their shame. It starts this process of the stuff I've never told anybody, I can sit down and tell you. So first, the remedy. We don't rid shame without the blood of Jesus Christ, obviously, because we have to get past the sin, the forgiveness of sin. But you can have forgiveness of sin and remain in your shame. There's people in this room today struggling with it today, all of us. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is 1 John 1:9. I often wonder, does God really need us to say it? What is that? Or does he need you to hear you say it? Right, this is where it really resonates. Because that same thing in the counseling world where I get to say my truth and not be judged. I get to confess it before him, and he gets to wipe that stuff completely clean. Now, oftentimes I like to take my shame back, but that's my own thing, and I have to keep bringing it back to him, to keep bringing it back to you, keep bringing it back to you. But that confession of the mouth, what a beautiful thing. As us as church, as Christians, if we get to that point where we can confess to one another, right? This is the thing that I struggle with, where somebody else can come along and say, you know, I struggle with that too. And I struggle with that too. Can we pray together? Let's look at the scripture. Let's dig deep to see how we can help resolve this with each other. But it's not a shame thing. I'm not as good a Christian as you are because I'm struggling with blank. You guys can fill in the blanks. I know mine. I fill in the blanks with my own things, for sure. So that confession of the mouth. Stop pretending we have it all together, because we don't. And lastly, so sin is coupled, shame's coupled with sin, and then fear is coupled with shame. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear because it involves torment. Kind of sounds like shame, that tormenting of shame. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That perfect love, that love that can say, no matter what you tell me today, I still love you. I love you as a brother and I love you as a sister, and it's okay, because I struggle with my own stuff too. And that's the beauty of grace. God's favor towards the unworthy. And I don't think we even conceptualize what that means. My 10-year-old daughter, who's back in the nursery, I keep trying to teach the grace message to her, because she keeps coming in the morning saying, I think I sinned. Now I'm not okay, right? Now I'm okay with Jesus, and we have to keep going over and over. You're okay. God's got you. The rest of your life, no matter what you do, he's got you. He's got you, and you're going to be imperfect, and that's okay. It's still hard for her to wrap the head around that, because we're used to, I do this, I get this. If I do this, I get this. It's amazing. That's the amazing grace. God's benevolence towards the unworthy, the undeserving. Sometimes we talk about unmerited favor. And that perfect love that casts out all fear. I always took that as God's love towards me, and it is. But my love towards others. When I perfect my love towards others, it starts casting out their fear, casting out that shame, casting out that device of the enemy that will destroy you and destroys us. Bringing the hidden things to the surface, when we can all, the church, the world can realize we are a bunch of unperfected individuals in here. Absolutely. No means to cast judgment. We're here to love you, to show you God's grace, to rid you of your shame. What is your shame telling you today? We hope today everyone in this room has experienced the grace of God, the saving grace of God. If you've not experienced that today and would love to do that, to be rid of that shame, start that process of getting rid of my shame, we want to give you opportunity up here this morning. Or maybe you're just struggling in your shame and you need some brothers and sisters to come alongside you and pray with you and hold you up. You don't have to tell us what it is this morning, but you know what it is. Can we go back to, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. I want to go back to that song. And if you don't meet either one of those categories, then as we sing this song one more time, thank you, Jesus, for the blood, I just really want you to dig in deep. I can hardly make it through that song. We sang that song, I don't know how many times. I can hardly make it through without it just, the overwhelming, it brings tears to me every time. Because I remember who I was. I remember who I am every day. He reminds me. It's like, you don't got it together either. Yes, no need to pass judgment. If you know those individuals that are struggling, if you're one, reach out for help. This is a beautiful congregation here. Some beautiful people in here where you get to reach out to each other in a non-judgmental way to come alongside, help rid that shame in that device of the enemy.
So if during this song you feel like he was speaking to you, if you could just come up here and bow down at the altar. This space is open, and maybe Pastor can come up and pray with you during that time.
So rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me out of darkness into glorious light. Tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, and then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Daughters, we are ransomed by your Father through. the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life.
Brought me out of darkness into glorious light. Brought me out of darkness into glorious light. Brought me out of darkness into glory.
Glory.